Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news about the Tennessee Thunder and the USWFL. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome back to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Man, I'm glad to be back on here. Sorry we missed last week. Some technical difficulties way above my head. So couldn't make it in the last minute kind of thing. And I hate we missed it. I had several things to talk about. Had some people lined up to come on the show. Maybe this coming week I can get them back and have them next week. Every week I try to give these girls their just due and talk a lot about women's football. And, you know, that's what we do here. And want to give all these players some airtime. These ladies deserve it. They don't get a lot of respect from other people about playing. A lot of people don't know they play, and that's why I do this podcast every week, just to try to help out women's football and all the players around, you know. So every week I've been trying to keep up with the WNFC since they started the same time the NFL did, and players of the week and the power rankings and things of that nature. So I know this is a week behind, so I'm going to announce it anyway, but on April the 29th, Utah beat Las Vegas 19-0. Atlanta was over Philly 41-6. And this is in the WNFC, April the 29th. Then Washington Prodigy was over the Florida Avengers 66-0. Mississippi beat Denver 28-19. That was a pretty good game. I got to catch a little bit of that. Texas, they beat Houston 28-0. That's the second time they played them, and they beat them. San Diego Rebellion, they beat Seattle 40-0. Now, that, like I said, that was April the 29th that happened, and their players of the week that week were offensive player Mississippi Panthers Rashawn DeYoung. She had 7 catches for 134 yards and 2 TDs. The defensive player was from the Tennessee Trojans, safety Stacy Kramer. She had 3 tackles, 2 assists, 2 pass deflections, and 2 INTs. Their trench player for the April 29th week was Barbie Davis. She plays offensive tackle and defensive tackle, and she dominated on both sides of the ball. So she's from Las Vegas. So that's their players of the week. And from April the 29th. So then this past week, I know Texas, they beat Denver 34-6, which that's no surprise. Texas is beating everybody. They're really, really good. Los Angeles beat Seattle 42-25. Utah beat San Diego for the second time in another close game, 22-21. Las Vegas beat Oregon 26-0. Houston beat Kansas City. Philly beat Tennessee 22-7. And in another good game, we watched part of that this past weekend was Mississippi beat Atlanta 7-6. That sounds like my kind of game. A lot of defense. And we did watch a lot of turnovers, missed opportunities, things of that nature. Now, their players of the week for May 6th, and this is the WNFC, the offensive player of the week was from the San Diego Rebellion, and it's a running back, Adriana Gutierrez or something. I can't pronounce it, but he had 17 carries, 191 yards, and four TDs. That's a highlight reel for sure. The defensive player of the week was from the Washington Prodigy, protege of the old St. Rhodes Lady Gators, and cornerback Tayshawn Lee. She had six tackles, one INT. She took back for 85 yards and a touchdown. She's a really, really good player. She's a good offensive player as well. Know her real, real well. Really good player. The trench player of the week was from the Texas Elite Spartans. She plays offensive tackle and defensive tackle, and she was consistent and dominant on both sides of the ball. 85% of their yards come on the side she was running, and when they seen them stall, she dug down deep, and they ran behind her, and they scored the final touchdown. Now, this is my player of the week for everybody, and I'm going to tell you, it'd be a blessing to watch somebody like this play. It's a girl that plays in the WFA for the Cincinnati Cougars, Christina Mason. And this is not a misprint. She had 24 tackles for a loss, one sack, one INT. She averaged 8.5 yards receiving the ball and also scored a two-point conversion. Now, I don't care who you play for, what league you're in, what team you're on, that right there is a game for the ages. Now, that's doing something. That's their first game, I believe. They play again this week, so we'll keep an eye on her to see exactly where she's at and what she's doing. I'm just telling you, now, that right there is some kind of game. I mean, that's a season for a lot of players. So to have that one game, she definitely is my overall player of the week. And she plays for the Cincinnati Cougars. And I presume they play in Division III of the WFA. Now, after the May 6th game, so this week's power rankings, and a lot of things have shuffled amongst them, and this is for the WNFC again. Texas Elite Spartans, no surprise, they're number one. Utah Falcons, they're number two. If you don't remember, those are the two teams that played in the Nine Cup last year for the championship. The Mississippi Panthers, after beating the unbeaten Atlanta Phoenix, moved to number three. Atlanta Phoenix was at number two. They fall to number four. The Washington Prodigy at number five. San Diego Rebellion at number six. The Houston Mambas at number seven. Coolest name in women's football, the Denver Bandits at number eight. At number nine, the Las Vegas Silver Stars. At number 10, a disappointment to me, the Kansas City Glory. Number 11, the Los Angeles Legends. Tied at number 12 are the Oregon Ravens and Seattle Majestic. Number 14, the Philadelphia Phantom. Number 15, the Tennessee Trojans. And number 16, the Florida Avengers. Now, I know Florida, well, when you watch them play, they're probably right where their ranking is. But, man, they played like five straight weeks. Now, I'll just tell you, I mean without a bye, this past week was their first bye. And I don't care who you are, what kind of team you got, and all that's a lot to ask for. And played the teams that they played. They played some tough teams through that stretch. So to play that many games in a row is really unbelievable. And to play in that league with the travel that they have to do every week, if they don't play at home, then they got a real travel schedule ahead. So, man, that's brutal. They come in and last place. So, USWFL is actually taking off this week for Mother's Day weekend so that these girls don't have to travel and can be home with their moms. You know, I'll just tell you, Mother's Day is a special day. You know, I know your dad is a lot of women and men the same. Your dad's in your life, but your mom is the backbone. And I've always said when, you know, we taking over this league, that's the one holiday that I want to see our players and the teams and their players spend at home. So I really appreciate that, you know, that these moms that play and own these teams and all that, my hat's off to you for what you do, because there's a lot of people that could care less, but moms are really special, so I appreciate it. So we actually always take off that weekend. But nevertheless, the WNSC, they're playing this week, and I guess because of their playoffs and the way they're structured and all, they have to. I don't know. But they're playing this week. They got six games. So the L.A. Legends, they're at the San Diego Rebellion. The Philadelphia Phantom, they're Mississippi Panthers. That's not going to go well. The Texas Elite Spartans, they're at Kansas City. That's not going to go well for Kansas City either. The Seattle Majestic and the Oregon Ravens, now that might be a game. I don't know. The Atlanta Phoenix and Washington Prodigy, now that's going to be a game. If you're not playing, and you can tune into that, they got that website. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can go on their page and find it. They have great live streaming. It's really good. If you're wanting to watch a good football game, then you should probably tune into that Atlanta Phoenix Washington Prodigy game. And it probably, I don't know, I'm guessing probably start at 6 or 7 o'clock Eastern time. Be a good one. And then we got the Houston Mambas at the Tennessee Trojans. I don't think that's going to go well for Tennessee. I know they got a win against Florida a couple weeks ago and played pretty tough up in Philadelphia this past weekend, but Houston sort of got womanhandled, you should say, by Texas Elite Spartans in the first game, but this last game they, you know, played them 28-0, and, you know, giving up 28 to those girls and women, or however you want to say it, probably is not a whole lot you can do about it. But nevertheless, I don't think that it's going to go too good for the Houston Mamba. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So moving on to the USWFL, and I do have Ashley Miner in a little while, around 8:30. She's joining me. Meant to have her on last week. Talk about, she was the Iron Woman MVP in, I don't even know what game it was. I guess it was April the 15th, I believe it was, against the South Carolina Scorpions. So a little behind on getting her on, but want to try to get her on. And we had Adrian Marsh on. That girl's a really good player, I'll tell you right now. My vote, her is the MVP of the Iron Woman division in the USWFL. She plays for Huntsville Tigers, and she's really good. Right now, she's definitely got my vote. So she's balled out against us and everywhere she's played, or every team game that they've played, I'm sorry. She's a really, really good player. So I'm definitely, at this point, going to give her the nod from me as the Iron Woman Player of the Year in the USWFL. But nevertheless, we did have some games on April the 29th, and that was when we played Huntsville, and they come to Tennessee, and they won a close game at 6-0 at half. They scored on a pick six right before half, a minute something to go, and then they scored late again in the third quarter, and then the game was almost over and they scored again. So it was finished up 18-0. The Adrian Marsh girl I'm talking about scored all three of their touchdowns. She had a pick six, and then she ran two more in. She's a dynamic player, no ifs, ands, no buts. So they won 18-0, and this was on April the 29th. And then also the RVA Tomahawks beat the Cincinnati Sizzle 48-6, and that was on April the 29th. And so then they're the offensive players in the mid-major division for April 29th was Nene Coley, however you say that. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Coley is spelled, I believe. She plays for RBA. And Cash Jeffy was a defensive player for the RBA. And RBA tells me their O-line player did a really good job. And Alicia Key was their team offensive line MVP. So, again, they won 48-6. They played at home. They lost the game in Cincinnati, but rebounded back to win that football game. So they are now, speaking of the RBA Tomahawks, they are 4-1. So they look like they're rolling pretty good. Still have one game left on the road. They just come from Detroit, and they got to go right back again, not this weekend, but next weekend. And then they will definitely host the playoff game. So they've got things going their way right now, no doubt about that. So let's see what we got now for the power rankings for this week after the May 6th game. I've got the RBA Tomahawks at 4-1, the Cincinnati Sizzle, number 2, at 3-1. Huntsville Tigers, they might just be the second best team in the league. I got them at 3rd, and they're 3-0. We'll see what happens there. But the Tennessee Thunder, they're 1-1. Trout, they're 1-3. They're at number 5. Michigan Queens are 0-3. They're at number 6. And the South Carolina Scorpions are 0-3 at number 7. Now, on May the 20th is the next time that the USWFL plays. And RVA, like I said, will be traveling to Detroit, Michigan to play the Michigan Queens. That is a 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time game. That's tough. At least there was a bye week in there for them, but they're traveling back to back. They got a good solid team, so that's going to be a long day, I believe, for Michigan. Even though when they traveled to RVA, they put up a good fight, and Michigan has some really good players. So I don't think that it's going to be no cake. RVA's just got too much for them, too much depth, too much players, and I think they'll win that game. Should be a really, really good game. Cincinnati, they travel to Detroit to play the Prowl. This is May 20th. That'll be, I believe, a 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time game. Detroit traveled to Cincinnati couple weeks ago, sort of shorthanded, have some players have some mishaps along the way, couldn't make the game, so they shorthanded and end up, I don't know, 28-0, somewhere along there. Nevertheless, Cincinnati's traveling to Detroit. Detroit has a really nice place to play. They got a lot of excited fans up there. I think, like I said, they're going to be a powerhouse. It just takes a little time. They're way behind all these other teams. They never even started till January or late January, so they were late add-on. But I think they're going to give Cincinnati, if they win, it wouldn't surprise me. But I definitely think they're going to give Cincinnati all they want. And then in the Iron Woman division, the Tennessee Thunder go on the road to Huntsville Tigers, play Huntsville at their place, and they're good. I'll just tell you right now, they're one of the best teams I've seen play. They play, they're tough. Not only are they good, they're tough. They don't have a bunch of players show up, but what they do have show up are tough, and they play the whole game, and they don't take no plays off. And like I said at the in the middle after they won the game, they got a really tough team, and I admire that. My hat's off to these teams that can bring not so many players, and they play hard every single play. They got a quarterback that's really really smart. She understands the game, and over the years we've played Huntsville off and on in scrimmage games several years, and this is by far the best Huntsville team that I've seen by any stretch of the imagination, and they're really good. So the Thunder's got their handful. In that particular game, I can tell you that. And that's next Saturday, and that game is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot on the line. Huntsville, they're already the number one seed. There was three teams in that division. They're already the number one seed. So they're going to, no matter what happens, and they got the tiebreaker for that league. They own the tiebreaker. So if we was to have the same record at the end, they get the tiebreaker. And so they're automatically, no matter what happens, they're automatically in the championship game on July the 1st. So, they're good. They're there. So a lot on the line for Tennessee to see where they're at. So that's going to happen, like I said, May the 20th. So should be some really, really good games. And, looking forward to the opportunity. That's all you can ask for is have good play, good teams playing, and, see who shows up ready to play and who don't. And they've definitely been doing that, like RVA. They've had one little mishap and almost come back and won that game, and they've been on a tear ever since. So we'll see. On May the 6th, before I get too far and out of whack here, on May the 6th, the players, I don't know who was the player of the game for the Huntsville and the South Carolina. I'm guessing it's probably Adrian Marsh. I don't know. I didn't get the stats from anybody on that, but I'm sure it was probably her. But I do know on May the 6th from the RVA traveling to the Detroit Prowl, their offensive player was T. Lyles. She's from RVA. And the defensive player was Amelia Binyard. She's a defensive player of the week, and she was from RVA. And their O-line MVP for their team was Tyler Lawrence. And she played really well also. So there's a lot of stats and the power rankings for both leagues and both teams. And, man, it's getting down to, to the crunch time. So this coming up on the 20th. Is it's like it's RVA's last playoffs. It's Judith Huntsville's last game until they play in the championship, and then the Thunder still has to play the South Carolina Scorpions on June the 3rd. That'll be both of their last games, and then the game have to make up the game on the 27th between Detroit and Michigan for an unscheduled wasn't a forfeit. We had to just reschedule it for an expected death, so we had to reschedule that game. But and then Cincinnati plays Michigan on June the 3rd to wrap them up. So, you know, it's getting down there close to it. We're halfway, you know, time we play this coming weekend with the teams playing this coming weekend, we're going to be halfway through the month, you know, and then time everybody gets through playing and take a week off. June 17th, the playoff game, and I don't know exactly how it's going to work in the WNFC. They're taking 18, but I don't know exactly how, you know, how it's going to work for them. But I can tell you here that the top two in the USWFL, the top two teams are going to host, and then whoever wins that game goes on to the championship game, and that will be July the 1st, and the All-Star game will be July the 2nd. So it's, you know what, man, it just seems like we started. And here we are talking about championship games and all that stuff. So, you know, you get all geared up, you practice all winter and through the cold, and here it's starting to heat up, and we're getting playing hot. And these turf fields, man, it's like being on a sauna out there playing. It's about 20-some degrees hotter on these turf fields. So, you know, it's a tough gig. This year we're going to do our All-Stars a little different. We're going to have a draft. I like that idea where, you know, the same teams ain't always on the same team together and the same players. Give them a little bit of rivalry amongst them and, you know, a little bit of bragging rights maybe between teammates, who gets this and who gets that. But should be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to it. We've never did it that way, but I like the concept. So should be lots and lots of fun. We're gonna have a draft on it. We're probably looking at trying to maybe do it next week sometime, as early as we can. So as soon as I get all these teams to get me their All-Stars in, and I can get them out to the coaches and let them look, we're going to set us up a live draft thing to see who we can get on each team. So it should be lots of fun. And, you know, and that's what it's about. It's a lot of fun for these girls. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with me personally. I want to see them have fun and, you know, try to just enjoy it. You know, so much goes on. You know, everybody is always, all these teams are always wanting these girls to do this and do that. And, you know, and for what, since December, some teams have been practicing longer than that, but December, January, some of these teams have, you know, held these girls' feet to the fire to be at practice every week or whenever the practices are. And, you know, here we are about to wind down and we're getting close to the end. And for some of these girls, they're not going to get to play for a championship, you know. So being on an All-Star team for some of these teams might be the highlight of their year, you know, and then playing maybe, like I say, for bragging rights that, you know, just think that ain't on the same side. So give them a lot of stuff to play for and a lot of fun, and that's what I wanted to create was something that would be fun to really, you know, get out there and let them enjoy it. So that's why we're doing the draft this year. That's the only reason. I just like the idea. You know, they play with the same girls all year long in the serious type matter. Not saying nobody don't want to win this All-Star game, but, you know, we're going to practice a couple hours before it starts just to sort of go over a few things, and then you're going to go out there and play for four quarters. So, you know, it really is fun. And, you know, winning's the ultimate fun, of course. So, you know, a little bragging rights to throw in there. Now, it could fall that a lot of the players wind up on the same team, you know. So, not saying it couldn't, but, you know, I don't foresee how anybody you know, well, I hope that you know, these people drafting will draft accordingly and fairly of how they go. I know they got some good players on their teams, but there's a lot of good players on other teams as well. So I think it's going to be a really good day. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm be honest, just excited about it. And I think the girls are too, you know, and these teams, some of them are brand new teams and have never played and never been in these leagues. You know, I know like RVA, this is their first year. They've had a men's semi-pro team for years, and this is their first year in women's. I know they were part of the Lady Gators last year, and they moved on from that to start their own team. Cincinnati's been around for years, the South Carolina Scorpions. This is their first year, and, you know, they there's a lot to be said for these new teams to get these players in these situations to have fun and opportunities to win championships and opportunities to play for different coaches and things of that nature. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll be talking more about it. We'll be having, like I say, some more of these players on. I got to get the player on from the Detroit Prowl. The running back from them from a couple weeks ago, Tamara Fennell from Cincinnati. She had a big game, and I need to get her on to talk as well. So I'll be getting some players on over the next couple weeks. I'm going to bear down, try to have two or three like I did before, and maybe a coach or two, especially after we get these rosters set, maybe have the coaches of the All-Star teams on to talk a little strategy and see what's going on there. So we'll definitely be talking more about it. I think we got Ashley Miners on the phone, and let's see if she's there. How about it, Ashley? Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Well, I know you've been sort of under the weather. Are you feeling better?
Most definitely. Just, you know.
Well, that's
things come and go, and they're going.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's a good thing. Now, we've played a game, actually, since then, but we usually run a week or two behind to get these players on. And on April the 15th, we played the South Carolina Scorpions, and you was the Iron Woman player of the week that week. And, you know, up until you joined the team just a couple of weeks before that, how long had it actually been since you played any football?
Honestly, about 2 years. The last actual football game I played in was 2019 with the Thunder. You know, I barely even threw a football, so it's been a long time.
Right. Well, and you know what? I don't know if you listened earlier to hear about that girl from that Cincinnati team having, you know, those stats. I mean, that's a year's worth of stats. But also,
yeah, it is.
even when you played, you know, you didn't get to play much defense. If you did, it was just a safety a little bit here and there. But I know you threw a touchdown in that game, and you ran the ball a lot and well when we needed you to. But we had you playing outside linebacker, and you had at least three interceptions and a fumble recovery, maybe two fumble recoveries and several tackles. I don't know. Now, where did all that come from?
Honestly, I have no idea. I talked to Coach Mike after the game, and I said, you know what? I said maybe all of it was built up because I really wanted to play defense, and all I was really able to was safety. But I don't know. I was just ready to knock some girls' heads off, you know. Playing that close to the line, like, I don't know, it gives you a whole different adrenaline rush than out there at safety.
Yeah, that you know, a lot of teams, you know, put those safeties in. And I'll tell you, a lot of those teams will put their best player at safety because they can really read the ball and you know, make a lot of tackles, pick off a pass. Actually, the girl picked off the pass from you last week and scored, or 2 weeks ago. She was playing safety, and she's really good. But, you know, that kind of stuff takes a long time to develop, you know, and it's an art to play in like that safety position that Adrian Marsh girl plays really well. But, you know, and that's just it, though. But you've played safety, never really been in on a whole lot of tackles and never had to throw your way a lot or, you know, and we go over there and they decide to throw the ball a lot and you pick off three passes at least. I know you have three interceptions. And like the girl from, you know, talking about the girl from Cincinnati, shoot, that's a year for a lot of people. I mean, people played years and years of football, never had an interception.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give Jen credit and Bam credit because they were talking to me the whole time, you know, move up or move back. You know, I had a lot of help from them. But really it's just, I mean, you just pay attention. You can figure out where they're throwing to, you know.
Yeah, that, and you know what? I was talking to one of the coaches from another team and after that performance, and he's like, hey, man, tell me about this linebacker you got picked off all these passes. I was like, well, she's actually the quarterback. He said, say no more. He said those quarterbacks can you know, read that and get a jump on it versus everybody else. So, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe that really – helps you out, you know, gives you a little bit of advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think of it like that. And, you know, he's right because, you know, you try as a quarterback, you try to throw them off, you know, look another way. But really, you know, you can tell through their body motions and stuff and their movements if they're going to throw it or if they're going to, you know, hand it off just from, you know, being a quarterback. So, yeah, he's definitely right on that.
You know, there ain't a quarterback alive that's never – I mean, if they've never threw an interception, they ain't never threw it very much. And I don't mean that's at any level of football. And, you know, just like last week, you know, an interception went right through a receiver's hand, right into, you know, one of their players' hands. And that's the kind of stuff that's frustrating as a quarterback, I know. And, you know, over the years, we watched Peyton Manning play a bunch and over the years. And, you know, we've seen that happen to him. I would say a third of his interception probably come off of tip balls or balls that should have been caught that landed in other players' hands from it. Now, I've never played quarterback, but how does that get in your mind and how do you move past that?
I tell you what, after that first one that went through the one receiver's hands and literally straight into the, I guess she was playing corner, I mean, it definitely got me down because, you know, you throw a pass and you try to make it, you know, perfectly to where your receiver can catch it. I mean, maybe I could have threw it. I definitely could have threw it to the outside more, but – you just got to move past it. You got to take it a play at a time, and if that play don't work out, you've just got to move. Because if not, you stick to that, you're going to throw another one the next time, or you're going to fumble it, handing it off to a running back. It's just, I don't know, give or take, you just got to move past it and do the next play.
You know, speaking of that, there's two great players that different. I mean, like Michael Jordan, they talked about all the game-winning shots he made. He missed way more than he made, you know. But it didn't faze him to keep shooting because he knew he was going to make a certain amount of them. And I remember years ago, me and Jennifer was in Kansas City, and Peyton Manning was – I think they were playing San Diego Chargers at that time. and he threw six interceptions in that game and still had a chance to win the game. The field goal kicker missed a tip shot at the end for the Colts to win that game, and he threw six interceptions. And, you know, he just kept throwing and kept throwing and kept throwing. You know, that's the kind of mindset you got to have, but it's a lot easier said than done a lot of times.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, you can throw – actually, I can't remember if this is totally correct or not, but I'm pretty sure that I threw that one interception during the South Carolina game and then turned around and caught the interceptions. Is that right?
Probably.
I can't remember. But, I mean, just, you know, something simple like that, if I could have got down and, you know, slung my helmet or whatever and got mad, who knows if I would have even, you know, bounced back and made those plays. But
well, you know, the thing about football and any sport basically, but what happens in football is you play, you know, we played on the 29th, and here it's going to be, you know, basically 3 weeks before we play again. You know, in basketball or baseball, it's just a short turnaround. You're right back out there. You know, it's you got to get, you know, you got an opportunity to rebound. But football, you don't, even in high school, you know, they just play once a week. And then if they have a bye week. So it actually, you know, it's an opportunity for you to get better. But it's also, and I don't care how much you try to get it out of your head, you can't get out of your head that, you know, I'll guarantee you the kind of person Peyton Manning is, he can about tell you every person that ever intercepted a pass from him. So you don't forget it. You got to learn how to deal with it and not do it over. But football is that sport. You don't get to go the next day to change it.
Yeah, that's it is, because you play a game and you've got, well, we've got like 2 weeks, you know, until we play the next game, and you just sit there and think, gosh, you know, what could I have done differently? What can I work on? And then, you know, practice is once a week, but yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't get to work on things that, you know, like basketball, they practice like every single day, you know. This sport would be a whole lot different if you practiced every single day, that's for sure.
Well, it'd be nice if we could, no doubt. Just think of when you was able to come back and play after a few years off from the very day that you come to the first workout to the workout we just had yesterday. Just look at how much better you're throwing the ball, how much better the ball's coming out. I mean, you missed a few throws, but for the most part, you know, I'm going to say probably 90% of the passes was right on cue. Now, you know, we got some young receivers and new receivers and catching them, and they're getting better. You know, there ain't no doubt. They're getting better, and that's what it takes. And you giving them an opportunity to catch the ball and catch that much of a rate, you know, that percentage rate of passes really helps them.
Yeah, and getting out there, you know, having those workouts like once a week, and then we have practice. Those workouts, you know, those few extra reps is definitely beneficial. You know, because you don't practice, you know, once a week, and you only get a few reps in. But having that extra workout, you know, that definitely helps. And then also having a ball at home, I throw a ball in a trash can all the time, so that helps too.
Yeah, well, anytime you're working out your arm and you're getting reps and you're pinpointing. I know when Dan Marino, which he's my favorite player, I know he used to have a tire set up, and he threw that tire and had it set on where it would move and that kind of stuff. And all that kind of stuff really helps you. And you know, even having these different girls running these routes, I mean, and you know yourself, you look at, we talked about it last night, how much better they're getting at those routes just since you came along. And I attribute that a lot to you, because you're putting the ball where it needs to be so they can catch it versus me out there trying to work with them or throw it or just whoever comes along that can throw it to them. They're getting true reps from somebody that can put the ball where it needs to be. So the next thing is just on them to run good routes and catch the ball. But what's good for you is it's just not the same old people all the time. So see, if you just had the same, and don't get me wrong, it'd be great because everything would be just bam, bam, bam. But being you got different receivers, you got to learn how they break out of a route. You know, some of them's route's going to be a little bit shorter. Some's going to be a little bit longer. Some of them can high point the ball. Some of them can't. And having these different receivers and they're young and striving and getting better, you know, not only that, look at the offensive line player that we use every week to play center for you. She don't even play center. But look how much better she's got running back. I mean, Jennifer, yesterday after you got sick, she ran routes. Then she was throwing the ball as well. And, you know, our tight end, just think of how much better all these girls have gotten each week by showing up these extra workouts. But really, I mean, we've had them before you came, but they've really all gotten better since you came because you give them a high percentage pass versus we don't.
Yeah, talking about, you know, the workouts with some of these the new girls that we have, you know, learning their speed and being able to really like kind of speed them up, throwing the ball to where that they have to kind of stretch out, run for it, making them faster. And I know some of the throws that I throw definitely could be probably a little softer, but it's making them better, you know. And I never want to cut slack, you know, throwing, but it's definitely better for them. It's more beneficial. And learning if, you know, some of those young girls that we've got, you were talking about it last night, how much that they've improved just from day one. And, you know, it thrills me because, you know, I wish I was that young when I first started playing. That's, you know, that's one thing that they should be very, very thankful for and strive to be better every single day because it's amazing to start that young, you know.
Oh, it's unbelievable, you know. And here's the thing is, you know, this league, we decided to let these girls play if they're the age of 15, the year that the season is going on, because we need young girls in this sport. I mean, Jennifer is within probably a couple years or maybe even be done this year. I don't know. But, you know, Becky is not too far behind her. Tanya is, you know, already retired. And who's going to take these girls' places? I mean, you're talking about pioneers in women's football. And, you know, I'm not saying these girls could step in Jennifer's shoes by any stretch of the means, but we have to have some young players coming up that have an opportunity to step in those shoes, you know. And if we didn't give these girls this opportunity, first of all, they may not ever play. But secondly, just look at what they've learned. Just since you've been a part of this team, you look at how much better that just specifically those three young girls have gotten. You know, I'm not saying the other people haven't got better either, but we really, I mean, that's the main reason we started these extra workouts is to get them up to speed because they don't know the difference, didn't know the difference between offense and defense. They didn't know any of the plays, didn't know what to do. And now, you know, they know all the plays, they know what to do. Now, sometimes they don't do it, but neither does a lot of the other players. But nevertheless, just look at how much they've learned. And how much maybe that they'll be better, you know, by the time they get to be your age. Just think if they continue to play, how good they'll be then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and them starting a sport, you know,
some of those young girls hadn't even played a sport before. And so, you know, they're learning more than just the sport. You know, they're learning, you know, teamwork and discipline and perseverance and, you know, getting that structure and all that's, you know, important in life. And, you know, obviously you want to learn something more than just, you know, one thing when you're playing a sport, but they're also learning how to win, you know, being on our team.
Well, you know what? They're also learning how to grow up. You know, that's the one of the biggest things that you know, as I told them, and you know, is you know, you're young, you got it on everybody because you're youth. But, you know, you are young, you are kids, and they do some dumb things from time to time, and it reminds you of, you know, how young they are. But really how they've grown as, you know, as they go along, that, you know, now, before when they started, probably wasn't as serious, you know, they didn't know what to think, and, you know, here we are on their ass every week, you know, this and that at practice, and telling them this and working on that, things they can't even comprehend, you know, and they go from looking at you with teary eyes to now, you know, they've got thick skin, you know, they've grown up, they've learned how to be a player, not just somebody that wears a uniform, you know, they're out there getting game experience, you know, playing lots of time in the game. They're just growing up, you know, and that's what kids, now a lot of kids never grow up, let's get it, but that's what sports do to you, is you get tough love, you get structure that you may not get at home, and part of all that is just growing up right before your eyes, and that's what sports does for you.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. All that is very true. And, you know, all those girls, all those young girls on our team, you know, they definitely needed it. And, you know, I needed it. Even starting, you know, in 2019, you know, football's taught me a lot in life. And I barely knew anything about football. You know, I knew what a quarterback was. But now I know, you know, most of the positions – not how to play them, but, you know, I know them and where, you know, what the, all the plays are, you know, it's just crazy. You know, I didn't think that I had a very good memory, but then, you know, all these plays, they just, you know, come to you like flow work. You know, it's simple now.
Yeah, that's one thing that I want to, you know, commend these girls on. And, you know, there is certain players, I mean, like Jennifer last year, we actually started her at quarterback in a game last year. I mean, we just did, the quarterback we had tore Achilles, and like 2 days before the game, we hadn't been working out another one. We were just in bad shape. We had a special practice, and I just got her some reps, and you know what? But she knows all the plays. She knows all the plays and what people's supposed to do, and that means a lot. The more educated you can be as a player, it just allows you to play anywhere. You know, even though you might be playing out of your comfort zone, it allows you to play anywhere because you know what's going on. And, you know, before these young girls, especially, like I say, because we started this workout every week just for them as extra to get them up. And, you know, I can remember them, and they're putting all the routes, and, you know, the ones that run routes, or the ones blocking, and ones running the ball, and they're putting all that on their armband, you know, because they didn't know them. And, you know, now you just don't pay no attention, but here they come in, you know, and they ain't wearing those armbands. Now you call out a play, they know what to do, you know. And that structure, if you could just imagine, now you know them and you've seen them grow just in the last few weeks, months, whatever it's been, but you could just imagine when they come and, you know, we're telling them to go this wide receiver, and actually we started Caitlin out at wide receiver, and, you know, we're telling them this and that, and then it was like, wow, you know, and I'm thinking, man, how am I ever gonna teach these girls anything, you know? And I told Becky, I was like, hey, we got to meet more than what we're doing to get this to sink in, and you know, it really has. And like I said, it ain't just been me. It's with the, you know, the help of you. And I mean, shoot, we had an extra workout yesterday, and well, we had 7 or 8 girls show up. Why, hell, there's teams that are playing right now that don't have that many show up at a scheduled practice.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me, you know, that people miss these games and miss these practices, and then they wonder, you know, why they're not playing or why they're – I mean, I'm like, it just don't – you know, all that just don't make sense to me. But, you know, that's – I guess that's not really for it to make sense to me. But, yeah, about those young girls and them learning the plays and all that, you know, I talked to Caitlin one day and I was like, you know, one way to learn all these plays is to get these flashcards. And when I tell you that I made myself sick and I was dreaming about these plays, I was dreaming about all the, you know, the run plays, the pass plays, plays that we don't even run anymore. I was dreaming about them. I was going through flashcards so many times. And I just told those girls, you do this, you know, it's going to just stick to you like clockwork. You won't even have to, you know, sit there and think, what's this number, what's this number? You'll just know it. You won't even have to ask anybody, you know. And that's one thing that gets on me is, you know, I come to the huddle and I say a play, and then people are asking me, well, what's that, what's that? But, you know, then that throws me off having to sit there and tell them. But, you know, all these girls can just learn all the plays like clockwork, you know, just – and it's getting to be that way, you know. Like you said, during workouts the other day, they were just, you know, naming them off. They were questioning them, but they were still naming them off. And it is crazy how much they've come in just a few weeks that I've been there.
Yeah, well, you know, and the crazy thing is, you go back to, you know, you played school, so even though when we signed you to play quarterback and you know, throwing the ball is easy, let's just tell it like it is, but the rest of it is hard. And, you know, I'll never forget the first practice, and, you know, we're saying you got to learn all this, learn all that, and, you know, you have the deer in the headlight looks. But, you know, before long, because we just kept working at it, working at it, working at it, and then you were working at it at home, You had it all down. I mean, it just, before you know it just becomes second nature. But you played sports in school. And, you know, a lot of these girls never played sports in school. Not just those three young girls, but a lot of girls in general have never played sports. You know, that's what's amazing. And I was talking to a guy today about Jennifer. She never started playing football till she was 32 years old. Never played a sport in high school. You know, I played some backyard stuff, but her parents wouldn't let her play sports. So, you know, to know all that, you know, we don't even play Jennifer in her wheelhouse position. You know, we play her out of position just because we need her somewhere else, you know, to know all that stuff. And we can play her at all these positions because she knows what's going on. And that's just over the years, so it can be done. You just got to want to do it. And you know, that's what one thing is taking these girls so long, and now they're starting to pick it up, is I'm not so sure at first that it's really what they wanted to do. And you know yourself, if you're not putting 100% into something, it's going to show. And whatever reason or whatever clicked or whatever light went off, they decided that they're going to, you know, they want to do it now, and you start giving that 100%, then you can see what we're seeing.
Yeah, like you said, being determined and being passionate about it, it's important, because, you know, if you're not, it, like you said, it's definitely going to show. You know, being being dedicated and coming to practices and showing out, even showing out during practice, you can definitely really has a passion for the sport whenever it comes to game time. Because, you know, if you're not dedicated enough to come to practice, it's definitely going to show in the game.
Well, you know, Ashley, what one thing I can't understand, and we talked about people playing, is it's all over women's football. It's not just on this team or other teams you've played on or whatnot, but you've got girls that played sports their whole life, or girls that played scholarship sports, and they have the attitude that practice, you know, they don't show up for practice. You know, they don't show up on a regular basis. And I can't, for the life of me, I just can't understand. Now, I get stuff happens. Don't get me wrong. Stuff happens. I get it. But we're not practicing every day. You know, how do you go from being a scholarship athlete to living, eating, breathing, dreaming, whatever that sport is, practicing every day, all the off-season workouts and this, that, and other, to where you don't care if you come to practice or not? That's the part about this women's football over the years that has just drove me crazy is I don't get that.
Yeah, it definitely don't make sense to me. I mean, if you go from, I mean, let's just say you play a sport in college, like you said, you eat, breathe, dream, you everything that sport, you know. You basically pay to play that sport. You know, if you're going to school too, you're waking up in the morning doing a workout, practicing in the evening, maybe playing a game that evening, but you're still working out that morning. I mean, you do it constantly. And if you don't come to a practice, oh, you're going to feel it, you know. You're going to know that you missed that practice. But, you know, that's one thing that I don't get either. I don't get it. You know, through high school, middle school, elementary, you know, all my coaches, you know, breathe down our throat. You be at practice because practice means more than a game. I've heard that my whole entire life.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I started playing women, do what?
I said absolutely. That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, when I started playing football, it was just like a whole different outlook, you know, that people had on practices. They just didn't care. And when it comes to game time, they show up. And I'm like, do you even know what you're supposed to be doing? Like, I don't understand. If I wasn't going to be there, I wouldn't even know, you know, the routes, the different, you know, speed from my receivers. I wouldn't know any of that stuff. So I don't know. I don't get it either.
Right. Well, you know, I have long conversations with coaches throughout the week about that very thing. And you know, we hear every excuse under the book why I can't be there. And, you know, I want to hear excuses why you can be there. Because, you know, I look at it like this. If there was a game Saturday, who would be there? Probably everybody this Saturday, but the game is in 2 weeks. And the score will be kept in that game in 2 weeks, but we'll win that game this Saturday or lose that game this Saturday by how our practice goes and who shows up and who don't. And first one thing there. And, you know, for the life of me, I don't get it. I mean, we'll have girls driving long ways, a lot of miles this weekend to make practice, and we'll probably have girls that live really close that won't make practice. And you need everybody. You know, that's the biggest thing about football. I mean, you played other sports, but, man, football is the ultimate team sport. It takes a team around you. One person's not going to win. I mean, it can sure help, but one person's not going to win, and one person's not going to lose. You win and you lose together. And how you get everybody together is at practice, and how that goes is how the game goes.
Yep, you're absolutely right on that. You know, you look at basketball, and you can have, you know, one or two really, really good players, and you could win a basketball game, you know, with those few players, but football's a different story. You got to have, you know, you got to have a whole offense. You got to have a whole defense. That's a lot of players that you got to have to win. And it is a teamwork. It's a family sport. And, you know, if there's one piece of that puzzle missing, you know, you're going to be slacking.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of players, and it takes a lot of players that are on the same page. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about this Huntsville team, how good they are, how tough they are. And you played the whole game, too. We had two players that played the whole game as well, and two others that almost played the whole game, and then others that didn't play much at all. But you know yourself, that Huntsville team, they didn't bring very many, but by God, what they brought, they balled out. They played hard from the time the game started till it was over. And that's my whole point here is it takes 11 and when you trot them out there on both sides of the ball, and all that 11 have to be on the same page. And I'd bet you money that when they went to South Carolina this weekend, that 95% of the players that come to Tennessee to play was the same players, or maybe 100% that went to South Carolina to play. And the same players that we've seen in the Jamboree, and the same players that played at home against South Carolina, you can just tell that those girls have played with one another by the way they play.
Yeah, they were definitely tough. I mean, they showed out the whole game. You know, I was thinking, you know, during halftime, I was like, man, I bet they're tired. And they come out there second half still balling. I'm like, golly, you know, I would get hit or, you know, run a ball and get tackled. And I just lay there for a minute. And then I'd get up and be like, man, are y'all not tired? And they're, you know, you just tell, like, they're ready to go.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said in the game, you know, whether you win or lose, you got to appreciate that. And I really do appreciate it, because I'd hate to think that, you know, with the way our players think and the way a lot of them's acting, I'd hate to think that we had to take 11 or 12 players and go ball game, you know. And I'm sure it's not a popular subject by me saying that, and oh well. You know, if it pisses you off or makes you mad, then you might want to look in the mirror. You know what? It's just one of those kind of deals. It's the truth, and that's the way I feel about it. Well, Ashley, I appreciate you coming on tonight, being with us, and look forward to practice this weekend and the game in a couple weeks, and we'll see what we can get done.
All right, Coach. See you Saturday.
Yeah, thank you for joining me. All right, folks. Ashley Miner, quarterback, defensive back, linebacker for Tennessee Thunder, had a game to remember on April 15th. We have played since then. Like I said, she played the whole game, played pretty good, getting lots of experience on the defensive side of the ball where she's not familiar with, but getting a lot of reps during the week and stuff at practice, and hopefully we're going to be better down the stretch. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight and listening. Like I said, I apologize for last week. Had a really good show lined up and some things happened, but we'll be back next Thursday, Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank J.C. Hawk Sports Network. If it wasn't for her, this wouldn't be possible. I say it every week. You know, it was a long time ago that he hit me up about doing this show, and I'm like, wow, you know, I couldn't believe it. But we've been doing it for several years now, and it's been a success, and I really enjoy it and get to talk to different people and talk about these different games, and keeps me in touch with football, a sport that I've loved for many, many years, playing as a kid, wishing that I'd took those scholarships and went and played college ball, but just didn't like school. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'm trying to help these girls out, get an opportunity to play football and you know, make their way in a sport that's male driven, you know, and I hope that they take the opportunity. So I appreciate everybody for listening again, and we'll tune in next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Till then, see you later.